This week on Geek Edition. There are a lot of towns called Springfield across the United States, but the one we all know best is the home of Bart, Lisa, Marge, Maggie, and Homer, the Simpsons. But there is one Springfield, in particular, that lays claim to being more quote-unquote official, more or less, than the others. Their claim is built on legend, maybe a little bit more. We'll dig into it this week as we search for the real Springfield. Hi, I'm pop culture journalist Dyer Oxley, and this is Geek Edition, reporting the stories that make us nerds, and a little bit more, too. The Simpsons is the longest-running scripted show in the history of television. It has amassed fans who cross generations, and you know them when you meet them. It will start with maybe some quotes, then the voices, eventually a few Ned Flanderisms will pop out. You know, I used to work with a guy who was fairly soft-spoken. The only thing on his desk was this little Bart Simpson figurine. And when he did say something, though, chances are it was something like, "Everything is coming up Milhouse." So it's probably no surprise that anybody living in or near a Springfield, which is, by the way, one of the most common small-town names in America, anyone living in or near one of them would claim that their Springfield is the quote-unquote real one, as if Bart skateboards down those very streets. Now, The Simpsons, that is the officials with the actual TV show, they have been very clear that their animated town is not based on any real Springfield out there. But that hasn't stopped one particular community from maintaining their long-standing Simpsons spirit. So I'm in the back of this dive bar called Max's Tavern in Eugene, Oregon, trying to covertly talk into my microphone as I'm watched by a whole bunch of bar flies. Yeah, this is really awkward. Dive bar may be a little bit too harsh, but Max's is a tavern. It has a couple of guys tending bar. They don't appear to be too far off from college. And overall, it's a pretty chill place. So why am I there, in the back, noting all these observations into a microphone? Well, it's become a little bit of a local legend. You see, another famous bar, supposedly, is drawn from it. There is a risque cartoon drawing of Marge Simpson, kind of burlesque style, behind the bar. It's taped up in one of the cupboard windows. There are these half-round booths in the back wall that definitely look kind of like the booths that Homer would be sitting at with his buddies. Moe's Tavern in Springfield, where Homer hangs out on the iconic show The Simpsons, is based on Max's Tavern in Eugene, Oregon. At least it is if you ask the regulars. Now, show creators would likely deny any connection between The Simpsons and Max's Tavern, but that has not stopped this local legend from evolving over the years and adding to this mystery that has lingered ever since The Simpsons first aired. And Max's was just one stop I made while I was on this sort of trail to try to decipher this mystery. Where is the real Springfield?
We believe that we're one of the primary templates for Moe's, at least where it was derived from Eugene Hangouts. Although there's never been any confirmation, sometimes there's some very interesting evidence to that.
This is Ward Fairbairn, proprietor of Max's Tavern. When Ward took over the bar in 1993, there were these old-timers. They had been frequenting the place since at least 1971. And they insisted that Simpsons creator Matt Groening used to hang out in Max's, drawing his first comic strip. At the time, it was called Life in Hell.
These same old-timers started pointing out that when The Simpsons would come on, and, you know, in the early 90s when we got here, That was heyday for The Simpsons. When The Simpsons would come on, they'd be like, see that, you know, you see that bar on The Simpsons? That's this one. And explain, you know, how they knew the guy and his cartoon drawing. Then, you know, as the years go on, there's just little things that make you go,
Little things. Like the decor and the fixtures of Max's back in the 80s, it used to look a lot like how Moe's was drawn. And at Moe's, there's this giant jar of pickled eggs, and it's in the same spot where Max's has their jar, Uncle Willie's brand. The fan above the door is the same, but not everything is an exact match, and Ward admits that. But as the years went on, and The Simpsons kept airing, Ward noticed these other things, too. Take this episode from 2003. It's titled, Three Gays of the Condo.
Dad took us antiquing.
Yeah, and along the way, we took photos of interesting doors and gates.
In this episode, Homer and Marge are having problems, so Homer moves into a condo with a gay couple. And somewhere along the line, he finds his placemat from Moe's Tavern, but Moe's is spelled M-E-A-U-X apostrophe S.
You know, like, wait a minute, why did you suddenly do that to us?
Then in 2005, Max's suffered a plumbing problem. See, the pipes were pretty old. They rusted out, and the whole place flooded. And the bar had to shut down for about 6 months to rebuild.
And 6 weeks after we reopened, The Simpsons comes out with an episode, and I guess this would have been mid-February 2005, where Moe's shuts down because of a plumbing problem, right? And they rebuild the place. And they painted it a different color. They painted it the same color we painted our place, you know, and the new decor was dominated by a clock, which was a prominent piece of our new decor.
So every week, anywhere from about 2 to 10 people, they show up at Max's and they ask about this Moe's connection. And Ward tells them about the old timers and the things he's noticed by watching the show.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, there's never been an official confirmation, and that's fine. And it's not like we make t-shirts about it. We don't. But it's fun. It's beautiful and fun folklore, and we believe it's true.
I should really note something here. I have looked up many biographies of Matt Groening. I cannot find anything that says he ever lived in Eugene, Oregon. I can't find anything that says he went to the University of Oregon, which is in Eugene. In fact, he went to Evergreen State College, which is in Washington. But then again, there's this. You see, Eugene is right next to another Oregon town, a town called Springfield. And that, well, that is another story. A story that touches on the level of folklore of Max's Tavern and the real-life history of Simpsons creator Matt Groening and everything in between. It involves this guy, Neil Lodotti, with the city of Springfield.
A lot of it's urban legend, but a lot of it is, you know, when the show first came out, Max's staked that claim. It wasn't years later. It's like they were on it. They were like, hey, that's us. They weren't Johnny Come Latelys. It was like it happened right away and they were in right away.
Okay, but before we get to Springfield's story, Springfield, Oregon, let's take a trip just up the road to Evergreen Terrace. If you're looking for the true location of Springfield, The Simpsons have given a few hints.
Look at that. You can see the four states that border Springfield: Ohio, Nevada, Maine, and Kentucky.
Oh, yeah.
So, no help there. But looking around Oregon, it could be said that there are these little bits of The Simpsons here and there, especially if you focus in on Portland, where creator Matt Groening grew up. He lived on Evergreen Terrace, the same street that The Simpsons live on in Springfield. He grew up there with his parents, Homer and Marge, siblings Patty, Lisa, Mark, and Maggie. Now, if you're a fan of the show, those names should probably sound pretty familiar, as should many of the street names around Portland, such as Quimby.
Citizens of Springfield,
I officially declare this. What the hell is that?
Or Lovejoy. You also got Kearney, Terwilliger, which is the real name of Sideshow Bob, Van Houten, which is Milhouse's last name, and yeah, Flanders.
Heidely ho, neighborinos!
Anybody involved with The Simpsons are pretty quick to shoot down any notion that Springfield is based off anywhere real, any actual town. And people like John Ortved would agree.
I'm the author of The Simpsons, An Unauthorized History.
Ortved literally wrote the book on The Simpsons. Unofficially, at least.
And it was my favorite thing to do, like, once it got syndicated, to, like, come home from school and watch The Simpsons. I mean, I can't think of a better activity, like, something that could make anyone happier. I don't know how you get happier. Maybe having a girlfriend made teenagers happier. I wouldn't know. As I've grown up, grown older, I will still watch the old episodes. I still will laugh out loud at some of the stuff. And they're smart jokes. They're not dumb jokes.
He knows the history of how Groening's cartoon family came to be, starting with the Tracy Ullman Show back in the 1980s.
The Simpsons were these interstitials. They were little, they could be 30 seconds long or a minute long or 15 seconds long that would play between the commercial and the Tracy Ullman sketches to kind of fill out blocks of time. And at some point, some executives at Fox, essentially they put a bunch of them together and said, hey, this could be a show.
So while Groening laid this foundation for the Simpsons family and Springfield, when Fox turned it into a show, John says that it started to gather these fingerprints from all these other creators. And that all started with James L. Brooks.
There isn't really a comparison now. It would be like Judd Apatow. Hollywood was much different then, and there weren't as many key players. It's sort of like three Judd Apatows. He was a big deal. I think a recipe is a very good analogy, and I think there's Matt Groening and his really unique sensibility, which I think Life in Hell is brilliant. And I think he had this really neat, kind of hippie, but also kind of subversive, anti-authoritarian stance. His drawings kind of come out of punk. And then you have this really talented group of writers, and they're given something that a lot of writers hadn't been given before, which was a carte blanche from the network. At no point was anyone coming down to them saying, you know what, the audience really likes the baby. We need to give the baby more lines. On top of that, you get the animators who also like those colors. The look was created by this woman named Georgie Palouse, and it was kind of Eastern European looking. She had sort of come under from the Iron Curtain. And then finally, on top of that, you had the voices. Now, if you go back to your recipe, they make a really good stew.
So while the Simpsons have been stewing almost 30 years now, many places have said they've held some connection to Springfield. And Groening may be having a little fun with this. So like in 2012, he was being interviewed by the Smithsonian Magazine, and I'll just quote directly from the article. Springfield was named after Springfield, Oregon. The only reason is that when I was a kid, the TV show Father Knows Best took place in the town of Springfield, and I was thrilled because I imagined that it was the town next to Portland, my hometown. When I grew up, I realized it was just a fictitious name. I also figured out that Springfield was one of the most common names for a city in the U.S. In anticipation of the success of the show, I thought, this will be cool. Everyone will think it's their Springfield. And they do. Headlines exploded from this Smithsonian interview, proclaiming that Springfield was in Oregon. The mystery has been solved. Of course, the very next week, Groening was quoted saying that he was taken out of context. The very next episode of The Simpsons had Bart at the chalkboard writing over and over, the true location of Springfield is in any state but yours.
I think it's like the same way that a kid would want his scar on his forehead to be the exact same shape as Harry Potter's. When we really into things, we want to perform them and make them, we want them to be real to us. And I think that's where sort of the quest for Springfield comes out of, where people want to know that this place actually exists. I don't think this place does exist, and in fact they've gone on the record to say it does not exist, but wouldn't it be awful if it did? If you could actually go and visit the real Springfield, imagine how gosh darn disappointing that would be. You would just be crestfallen. Like, they say don't meet your heroes. Really, don't meet your animated heroes. That'll be, like, really crushing.
It's not the first time that this Oregon town has come so close to the cartoon. Remember Neil with the city of Springfield? He's the town's legislative and public affairs manager. He's also become a little bit of a liaison between the city and the Simpsons, Groening and his staff over at Fox. This all started in 2007. See, the Simpsons movie was coming out, and there was this promotional contest that challenged Springfields across America to prove that they were the real deal.
The people that live here kind of get the joke of the show, and this was like a fun thing, and they're like, yeah, let's do this. And so we kind of got feedback from the community, and so we ended up having events at like our community theater where people would come in and give us ideas about our entry for the contest. And it was like the strangest night I can remember here, because we did like some viewings of episodes and people came down. It was like an early America's Got Talent. People were showing us their talents,
and cities were asked to make a video showcasing their hometown enthusiasm for the show. In Springfield, Oregon, they came together to meet the challenge. They had the Oregon connection, and Groening was from Oregon. They put together this video, and they sent it in. It went up against 14 other Springfields across the nation. A massive online voting campaign ultimately chose the winner, and
we actually did not win the Simpsons Springfield contest, but when it was over, Matt sent us a plaque that says, to the real Springfield. And he didn't write that on all the plaques. We checked.
Springfield, Vermont took first place, and Springfield, Illinois got second. Oregon came in third, but I've seen the plaque. It's proudly on display at the city manager's office in the city of Springfield. Now, in contrast, Vermont had a plaque, and that one had Bart saying, Springfield, Vermont rules, man. Despite this loss, the Oregon town's enthusiasm didn't really die down after the contest. And Neil stayed in touch with the Simpsons publicist, Antonia Kaufman, and every year or so, the city would have some kind of idea to commemorate the show in their town, but the show never was really interested until 2014.
We called her one morning and said, hey, we have an idea for a mural. We'd like to do the official Simpsons mural. You would help us design it, or you would design it, and then we would pay to put it up. And that was the first time she ever said, that might be a good idea. Let me talk to Matt. She talked to Matt and she called like the next day and said, yeah, that's a great idea. When do we start?
There were a lot of drafts for this mural. Many were nixed and a lot were edited, and eventually a very Oregon version of The Simpsons emerged.
But there's this fantastic email that we received from Matt where he makes some of his own changes. And so he said, you know, remind me, can you see the Three Sisters mountain range from downtown Springfield? And it's like, well, yeah, you could sort of see it from Springfield. Am I remembering this sign correctly, this old Springfield Hollywood sign? The beaver is still the state animal, correct? And we're like, yeah, he's still the state animal. Like, the trees changed to conifers. And so this is almost final. And then Matt makes a couple of genius additions, which is like,
can you
know,
read me those
yes.
Things?
So I think my favorite is Homer is in a hammock and Matt doesn't think his butt is protruding enough. So it says butt bump. And there's a little arrow pointing to it where he wants the butt to really sink that hammock a little bit more. And then Marge is in her dress, her normal dress that she wears in the show. And Matt's idea is to, hey, put her in some outdoor gear because people hike in Springfield, Oregon.
In August 2014, Springfield, Oregon unveiled its official Simpsons mural signed by Matt Groening. Yardley Smith, who does the voice for Lisa, she made an appearance, put her hands and shoes in some concrete, which is proudly displayed in front of the mural to this day. Lisa and Maggie can be seen mountain biking. Marge is in some hiking gear, painting an outdoor scene with Homer in a hammock. Bart is hanging from a tree above him, about to drop a water balloon on his dad.
You know, we've had journalists from Japan who are in Portland for stories drive down, take a picture in front of the mural, eat lunch, and then go back to Portland and catch their airplane. And they never would have come down before. Students take their senior pictures there. People do their Christmas cards there.
The mural's about a block away from City Hall. You can visit the main office there and see the plaque signed by Matt Groening. And you might find a few stickers that they have on hand. They're in the shape of Oregon. And they include a hashtag, the real Springfield.
You know, if you take the names that are prevalent in Portland, where he kind of grew up, and the street names, it's really all of Oregon. It's Eugene, it's Springfield, and it's mostly the Portland area. And kind of some of the locations that Matt seemed to think were special enough to put into the show. Yeah, I mean, we can look at the Springfield Hollywood sign that's pretty prevalent in the movies, and we used to have one here, but that's not what we would base our connection on. We base our connection on Matt's Oregon experience.
That story was produced by me and originally published on the Northwest Nerd Podcast, Geek Edition's parent podcast. You can find more features like that there and a little bit more. Music was by Kevin MacLeod. Thank you for listening. Until the next Geek Edition, I'm Dyer Oxley.